Welcome to the Empire Builders Podcast, teaching business owners the not-so-secret techniques that took famous businesses from mom and pop to major brands. Stephen Semple is a marketing consultant, story collector, and storyteller. I'm Stephen's sidekick and business partner, Dave Young. Before we get into today's episode, a word from our sponsor, which is, well, it's us. But we're highlighting ads we've written and produced for our clients. So here's one of those.
Hello, Rochester. I'm Troy Hess from IROC Plumbing.
And I'm Valentine!
And I'm Janet, but everyone calls me Pookie.
We decided, because we're able to quickly service your plumbing issues, we're adding...
Let Valentine say it.
Oh, okay. Over to you, Valentine.
IROC Plumbing now offers same-day water heater replacement!
It really does sound impressive when you say it.
Your voice, it's so... Can you say the announcement again?
IROC Plumbing now offers same-day water heater replacement!
That's right. Give us a call, answer a few questions, and we will replace your old or broken water heater the same day.
The same day.
The same day!
IROC.Plumbing!
Hey, Valentine, can you say Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers?
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers!
Welcome to the Empire Builders Podcast. I'm Dave Young alongside Stephen Semple, and we're talking about empires that were built, industries that were shaken up in the process, and what better one to talk about than FedEx? Well, you mentioned FedEx, but I mean, if we're going back to the beginning, we're going to say Federal Express, right?
True enough. That's right on the ball.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, we're both old enough that we remember these things.
I'm trying to be in denial around that.
As these companies like celebrate their 50th year in business, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember them coming on board. Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
Well, it's like the one that got me the other day is Sopranos 25th. You know, it was 25 years ago. And I'm like, no, please, God, no. Yeah.
Well, and for 20 years, I've been thinking that the 80s was 20 years ago. Apparently, that's no longer the case.
Should we talk about Federal Express?
Federal Express, absolutely. The most memorable thing about them was how disruptive they were, but their ad campaign was absolutely fabulous. The fast talking dude.
Yeah, we definitely want to talk about it. But here's the interesting thing. Fred Smith, who founded Federal Express, you know, he came from a real transportation background. His father founded Greyhound.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So, you know, he came from some money and he created this idea of the hub delivery system, right? So the whole idea of Federal Express is what they invented, and everybody does it today, was instead of something going from point A to point B, everything would go to a central hub, be sorted. So, you know, it may actually travel further, but is actually more efficient. And here's the crazy thing is he came up with this idea as a class project when he was in university.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his teacher gave him a C, said it was a terrible idea.
That's terrible. That's never, that'll never,
never, never, never, never going to work. And also at the time, got to remember, both UPS and the post office did not own their own planes. They relied, if anything was being air freighted, on airlines. And at the time, carrying packages by air was a secondary business for airlines. So literally, if there was no room for a package, it didn't go, or packages got bumped for people.
Yeah. What year are we talking about? What year was it when he was in school and came up with this stupid idea?
You know, I'm not sure what year he was in school, but really it was 1970 was a real turning point for UPS.
Oh, so
it would have been before that. Going back to Fred Smith, he inherits some money. His dad also had an aviation business. So he decides to sink the money into that aviation business. And he's doing corporate aviation, you know, private jets. And what he's doing is he's buying them, fixing them up, and selling them. So he's constantly looking for refurbished parts and things along that lines. And when he buys the business, he really grows it. Like, he takes it to a $9 million business, which is a 1,500% increase from the size of the business when he took it over from his dad. But there's these real problems. There's these real shipping issues grinding the business to a halt, because he would have planes waiting for like a single part. Like, he'll have the plane sold. He'll get the money when he delivers it, and he'd be waiting for a single part to show up to fix the plane. So delivery was completely unreliable, and UPS was not yet national. It took a long time for UPS to get completely national. Along comes 1970, and the postal workers go on strike. And Nixon declares a national emergency. And Fred looks at this and decides, you know what? We can't be completely reliant on this. Let's put this hub and spoke model into practice. So he digs out his paper, dusts it off, and he needs to convince his sisters to let him dip into the family trust, because he had to own the planes. The only way this was going to work, had to own the planes. And at that time, Pan Am was selling off some of the fleet, and they were small. They were small, fuel-efficient little jets. They would be about $1.3 million per plane. So he wanted to go and buy a bunch of planes. And what he also discovered was the Federal Reserve in the United States, when they're moving checks, it could take 5 days to clear. And that's a big money issue for the banks. And he was like, I could move them overnight. I could do this contract with the Federal Reserve and move them overnight, which is the reason why he decided to call it Federal Express, because he was going to do this stuff for the Federal Reserve.
That was going to be customer number one.
Customer number one. So he approaches his sisters, and his sisters refuse. He tells his investors the Federal Reserve are all in. He raises $80 million and buys 23 jets.
Okay. Was the Federal Reserve all in?
No. So he moves to Memphis, calls it Federal Express. Problem is, he thought this would be a slam dunk, but the deal did not happen because regulations do not let his planes carry cargo. Only big planes could carry cargo. His planes were too small to legally carry cargo.
Okay.
So Federal Express is losing money like mad. Like, within a year, they're $27 million in debt because he's bought all these planes and they're just sitting there. And Dave, I do work with, with a company that charters private jets and sells private jets. It's a lot of money for a jet to just sit there and look pretty.
It blows people's minds when they realize every plane you've ever been on has spent the vast majority of its time in the air.
Yes.
Like, it's just in the air all the time.
But the part that blows me away is, if they're not in the air and just sit on the ground, how much they still cost. It's still like millions of dollars for that sucker just to sit there. So he's losing money like mad, $27 million in debt, and he needs money from the family trust. So he forges the minutes so a bank loan would be guaranteed.
Oh, man.
Yep, yep. But this buys him some time. And by July 18th, 1972, there's a change in the rules. And now you can use any aircraft for moving parcels.
Okay.
So he can now launch the business.
I have so many questions, Stephen. Are his sisters still mad at him?
Well, this gets interesting.
Or did they get over it?
Well, this gets interesting.
Okay.
So on March 12th, 1973, six jets take off and do their first deliveries. Total package count, six packages in total.
Oh, man.
You know, because there's no name recognition. There's nothing.
Yeah.
And at this point, they're so cash poor, he only has $5,000 in cash left. There's no way to make payroll.
Hey, Steve, I want to interrupt us. Can I interrupt ourselves?
Well, look, it's your podcast too. You can do what you want to do.
Here's the thing. This is where we would normally play that really cool, highly produced ad that our buddy Mick's voice is in, and Gary has done some of them.
Don't forget Matthew Behrens.
And Matthew, yeah.
He'll be hurt. He'd be hurt if we forgot his name.
No, they're fabulous. But I thought, well, part of doing a campaign is you change it up every now and then and do it a little bit different. And I thought maybe you and I could do the ad.
Okay, well, let's do it.
Basically, this is the reason we're doing the Empire Builders podcast, is so that we can share stories of business owners. And hopefully the audience that likes the Empire Builders podcast is a bunch of business owners, right? That's sort of the plan.
That's the hope.
We have a special offer for business owners.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't cost anything. And it's fun for us. And it's fun for you. We promise it'll be fun. And it's just basically contact us and spend 90 minutes with us.
Here's how it works. Just give a little bit of background. Reach out. You can book the session online. Go to the Empire Builders podcast and go to Get Started. And right online, you can book it. So nice and easy that way. You'll receive an email with a scorecard and a questionnaire. So you just got to take a little bit of time to fill that out and get it to us. And what that allows us to do is, instead of it being this typical, hey, we're great, hey, we're wonderful, here's our ads, you should hire us, it actually allows us to do some research so we can show up prepared and give you, the business owner who contacts us, some solid advice for free. I don't like sales. I'd much rather do that than be the sales guy. And here's my attitude. If we give you great advice and it's something you think you can apply and helps your business, maybe then you'll want to go to the next step and hire us. And even if not, go and apply those things and grow your business. You know, the more people do that, just better off we all are.
This questionnaire that you're going to give them, again, remember, this 90-minute session is not about us. It's about you and your business.
Correct.
So that's why we need to know a little bit about you and your business so that we don't make it about us.
Right.
We want to make it about you.
Yeah. And it means the first 30 minutes, we're not asking the basic lowball questions. You've already given us the answers to those things. We can just get right at it. So take us up on it, man.
Contact information is at our website. You'll find us. You'll find us. Let's get back to the story.
All right, back to the story. So you've got this guy, Fred Smith, who's a Yale grad. He's a former Marine. He's the son of the captain of the industry, and he's brilliant. So you know what he does? He goes to Vegas and gambles it.
Really?
He takes the $5,000 to Vegas and gambles it.
Oh my gosh.
Comes back with $27,000 and he can make payroll.
Holy cow. So he didn't like take a high risk gamble unless he played all night or something. Man.
And then the sisters, remember the sisters? I know you haven't forgotten the sisters.
Dude, I have sisters. That's why I asked.
that's why you couldn't let go of it. Strike it a little close to home, was it, Dave? Did you ever rob their piggy bank?
I never robbed their piggy bank, but we had our moments.
Yeah, so anyway, the sisters file suit saying these documents were forged to get a loan. January 31st, 1975. He gets arrested for financial fraud, like carted off.
Okay.
He fights the charges and somehow he beats the charges and walks free. Like, I have no idea how he managed to do that. And it made big news. It made this national news. And here's the weird thing. Orders started to flood in after the court case. Like, can we ever think of any other situation where somebody goes to court, gets lots of press, and ends up money flooding in? Anyhow.
Oh, gosh. This is the classic American success story right here.
Because the scandal actually created a share of voice for him.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no such thing as bad PR.
But on top of that, they also do create this fantastic advertising campaign, you know, with the fast-talking voice, which was perfect because when you're talking about speed, the ad should be fast. But the other part was that whole, if it simply has to get there overnight.
Yeah, when it absolutely positively has to be there overnight.
And here's the audio for that ad. It's really worth listening to.
Okay, Eunice Travel Plans, I need to be in New York on Monday, LA on Tuesday, New York on Wednesday, LA on Thursday, New York on Friday. Got it?
Got it.
So you want to work here? What really makes you think you deserve a job here?
Well, sir, I think on my feet, I'm good at figures and I have a sharp mind.
Excellent. Can you start on Monday?
Yes, sir, absolutely, without hesitation.
Congratulations, welcome aboard. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And in conclusion, Jim, Bill, Bob, Call, Fred, Low, Dork, Adam, and Ted. Business is business. And as we all know, in order to get something done, you got to do something. In order to do something, we got to get to work. So let's get to work. Thank you for taking the meeting. Peter, you did a bang up job. I'm putting you in charge of Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
I know it's perfect, Peter. That's why I picked Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's perfect. Peter, may I call you Pete?
Call me Pete.
Pete.
There's a Mr. Schnittler here to see you.
I'll have to wait 15 seconds.
Can you wait 15 seconds?
I'll wait 15 seconds.
Congratulations on your deal in Denver, Dave. I'm putting you down to deal with Dallas. Don, is it a deal? Do we have a deal? It's a deal. I got to go. I got a call coming in. Hi, Doc. Just dealt with Don.
In this fast moving, high pressure, get it done yesterday world, aren't you glad there's one company that can keep up with it all?
You got a deal, good. I'm putting you down to deal with Dick. Dick, what's the deal with the deal? Are we dealing? We're dealing. Dave, it's a deal with Don, Dork, and Dick. Dork, it's a deal with Dave, Dick, and Dave. Don, it's a Dork with Dick, Dave, and Doug. Gotta go, Dave. Disconnecting. Gotta go, Dick. Disconnecting. Gotta go, Dan. Disconnecting.
Federal Express. But it absolutely, positively has to be there overnight.
When you want to become famous, you have to become famous for a thing. You can't be famous for a bunch of things. You have to be famous for a thing. And so what they realize is they could be famous for overnight delivery. Overnight delivery. If you had to send it overnight, like there was a time you and I experienced it. If you're sending something overnight, you didn't think about anybody else because you knew wherever I'm sending it, it would go overnight.
And before that, you didn't think of anybody because it couldn't be done.
Right.
Could not be done.
But even when others went to get into it, they didn't have the power of that space because, and it's funny, and I've shared with people this idea that, oh, you've got to be famous for something. And people would say, well, you know, the Kardashians, they're just famous for being famous. And I challenge that. Go, you know what? The Kardashians are famous for being stylish.
Okay.
right? Because if you take a look at everything that's posted, it's very stylish. So anyway, it's 1975. They turn a small profit. 1978, Jimmy Carter signs the Aviation Deregulation Act, which basically really opens up what they can use for planes and where they can fly and how they can operate. And the next year after that, they do $3.6 million in profit, and they're basically in every major city. Today, they have 550,000 employees, and they do like $92 billion in sales.
Yeah. In their early days, and remember, I grew up in Western Nebraska, middle of nowhere. Yes, I'm just a hick from the sticks. But it was a big deal for somebody to send you a FedEx, a Federal Express overnight envelope.
Yeah.
And really, in places like where I lived, you couldn't get one. Like, there were times when we would drive maybe 90 miles to send something overnight.
Right. Drive overnight to send it overnight.
You know, you think about it. If I drop it in the mail, it's still going to take days.
Correct.
But if I get in the car and I drive to, let's say, Cheyenne, Wyoming, where there's a Federal Express office, and get it there by 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening, they could get it to New York overnight. They could get it to any of the cities that they were already working with. It was game changing.
It was game changing. And it was absolutely, you know, a remarkable thing that they created. And they created this system that, look, common sense would say, if you're delivering something from Nebraska to New York, it should go from Nebraska to New York, not Nebraska to Memphis to New York, or probably more likely, Nebraska to LA to New York.
Right, right.
Right? Like, you'd look at that and go, well, that absolutely makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, on the surface, it makes no sense, which is part of what was so brilliant about what he created and how out of the box the thinking was. And what's really unusual is this is one of the first examples that we've come across of somebody who's created this unbelievably innovative business, and he actually came from the transportation industry. His dad had bus lines, you know, then he had, you know, an aircraft business. Like, this is actually really unusual. Now, look, the guy's a maverick, goes to Vegas, gambles a lot of money. Like, I mean, he was a crazy man.
Yeah.
But you know what? The first of 140 episodes, first one we've done where somebody actually had background in their industry. But even then, when presented it to people, they all went, yeah, this is a dumb idea.
When he first started out, this idea of not just hub and spoke, like airlines have three or four hubs. He had one. Every plane goes to Memphis.
Yes.
Every plane. And then in Memphis, big old sort happens overnight. And then planes go back out to where they came from with the things that are going to their spot.
Literally, if it was two towns over from Memphis, it would go to Memphis and back.
Yeah.
Out those two towns over. But one other thing I want to share is, you're absolutely right. There was an excitement if you got a FedEx envelope on something, right? Because it signaled it was important, because that was sent overnight. Yeah. That was so powerful that in the heyday of FedEx, what direct mail guys like myself would do is we would get envelopes printed that would look like a FedEx envelope. FedEx envelope.
It's got the color.
Got the color. It'd be fairly close. And we would, you know, put our letters in it and mail it. Put a stamp on it. And mail it. But what happened is it would arrive in somebody's office. They go, oh, and they would just glance at it and go, oh, this is important because it's from FedEx. That's how powerful FedEx became.
Oh, yeah. That blue and orange logo. Do you want a weird, interesting sidebar to this?
Sure.
I was talking to a transmitted disease specialist, somebody that looks at the vectors of disease, right?
Yeah.
This was several years ago, and we were talking about the Zika virus and the mosquitoes that transmit it. When they trace its path across the United States, it all vectors from Memphis.
Oh, is that right?
That's how it got into the U.S., and that's where it was spread from.
By packages.
Packages.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, old car, just parts. It could be, you know, a part that lays out and gets a mosquito egg on it. Next thing you know, it ends up somewhere else and gets wet, and the mosquito hatches, and
off to the races. So the last thought I want to leave everybody with, because I want to leave them with something upbeat, not, you know.
Oh, well, okay.
Are you diseases. Saying, the lesson to me that we can all take from this is, yes, he had an innovative idea and he did a bunch of crazy things. But when they got down to marketing it, was this whole idea of being known for a thing. And they just and it was the overnight delivery, and they really drove that message home. And so I see way too often businesses, oh, we do 20 things, and they want to market all the 20 things. It's like, no, you need to be known for a thing. And if it's 20 things, figure out how to knit it together. If it's not, you sort of got to lean in and own one. It's, you can't be famous for 20 things. You can be famous for one.
And he doggedly went after that one thing.
He
right?
really
he,
did.
He gambled everything.
Yep.
Because he believed in the one thing, not oh, well, I guess we could just become like the post office. Well, you're not going to beat the post office at their game. You got to play a different game.
Correct.
So
change the rules.
So he believed in that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Absolutely. It's a, that's a fun topic. We could chat about FedEx, you know, for hours, probably.
Well, let's not. I think we should wrap it up
Not. I mean, let's, what's the next topic? Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. All right. Thanks, David.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please share us. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app and leave us a big, fat, juicy 5-star rating and review. And if you have any questions about this or any other podcast episode, email to questions@theempirebuilderspodcast.com.